Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, March 13th. Coming up today, we have plenty of crime news for you, and there's an update on Kent's Bocky Bear, who's come out of hibernation. But first, taking a look at our top story today. New figures show visits to two Kent coastal towns are down by more than 30,000 following a hike in parking fees. The increases in Whitstable and Herne Bay came into effect last year and has seen the hourly rate for some places jump to as high as £3.70 an hour. It's raised more than £2 million for council, but traders say it's driving people away. Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to councillor Alex Ricketts from Canterbury City Council. He suggested there could be other reasons for the drop.
It's not a situation that we wanted to happen, and it is something that we'll monitor. But there are very good reasons that we've spoken about as to why we've seen a slight dip in outright numbers in both of those areas. The first and foremost, if you look at the slight dip, is it was a very cold summer last year. And actually, in the first quarter of the year, we didn't see any change. So when we're not getting a huge number of visitors, there wasn't a huge change year on year in the first quarter. There was no cause for alarm. As the year went on and the summer wasn't quite as good as it is usually. And there's lots and lots of data to show that, particularly with the coastal car parks, that the weather can affect it a lot. If you're talking in Whitstable, 6,000 parking acts, that could be the amount of a couple of busy weekends over the summer. So a couple of wet weekends over the summer could account for that. That being said, we're not going to ignore the issue. Herne Bay was a much, much larger number set against a much smaller overall number. And there are some very good structural reasons behind that. Is that one car park was out of action for a very long time. We've lost another car park and lost a number of spaces. And there were huge amounts of roadworks and disruption in Herne Bay across the year. And that number is spread more across the year than just the summer as well. So you would have the same effect that we'd see in Whitstable. But the other issue why it's larger in Herne Bay is there is more off-street parking. There are more parking options. So if people aren't going into car parks, then they will be parking elsewhere. So you can't just look at parking numbers and go, this is a flat number of people coming from outside the district not parking there anymore, because they're smoothed over the year. A lot of those will be local people not parking where they used to park. They will be visitors not coming in. But we've also seen over the same period that the number of train passengers has increased, the number of bus passengers has increased. So it is distinctly possible that more people are visiting by using the train, which is obviously something we want to encourage, and perhaps more residents catching the bus than driving in and parking, which is also something we want to encourage.
Okay. And are there any kind of plans in the works for if these less parking acts do continue? Are there any plans to kind of make adjustments, maybe to encourage more visitors in these coastal areas?
Yeah, that's obviously something we will be monitoring very closely. And as opposed to just reporting the reporting periods for these committees, the parking team, the transportation team, are looking at these figures on a daily basis. Of course, they will, and they'll look at the usage. And we're there to sound the alarm if we notice that these things are continuing. I think that we're starting, hopefully, to get out of the winter now and starting to see weather improve. I think we had a lovely weekend this weekend, and it'll be interesting to see what effect that had. But the overall goal beyond parking is obviously to encourage more people to come to Whitstable and Herne Bay. And there are more factors than just parking prices in that. In fact, there's good evidence to show that you know, parking doesn't really move the needle much up or down, whichever way you go. And we've seen this over Christmas parking periods. We've seen this over other areas in the district, that actually what encourages people to come is the thing to visit. And all of the regeneration efforts that particularly are going on in Herne Bay, the work around the harbour in Whitstable, making that a fantastic place for people to come and visit, that's what's going to encourage more people to visit. And we would like them to come by bus, we'd like them to come by train, and to a certain extent we'd like them to come by car as well. But what we're trying to encourage is that they park in those areas, which isn't going to cause that gridlock that you often see on a sunny Saturday through Whitstable.
Finn also spoke to Justine Setterfield, who's the director of Whitstable Harbour Gin.
I think there's a huge impact on local vendors, on the high street in general. Initially, when we first came here, the car park seemed to be full all the time. You know, people would almost have problems parking. And nowadays, I walk in quite a lot of mornings and they're half empty. You know, so it's sort of that counterproductive. By increasing the costs, you're actually decreasing the number of cars that are using them. There's a lot of options for places like Westwood Cross, places like that, you know, where people can drive, pay, you know, they don't have to pay to park. And it seems to me that there's this sort of increased emphasis on driving retail out of the high street and into these parks, you know, that are sort of out of town. Quite often in Canterbury, the car parks in Canterbury will be empty, and you get somewhere like TK Maxx and the car parks there will fill up because they're free, because people can pay, people can go and park for nothing. I think it has a huge impact.
Okay, and how reliant is Whitstable as a town and a local economy, do you think, on people driving in from other places, spending a long time here, but when it's £3.70 per hour, you know, do you think that detracts? And I'm rambling, but how reliant do you think Whitstable is on foot traffic?
I think hugely. It's not just people coming in from far away. You know, it's people from maybe from Herne Bay, from Faversham. You know, local people that live on the edge of Whitstable. Whitstable is ever growing. You know, Whitstable now isn't the small town it once was. It's increasing its own size. So people that live on the outskirts of town want to drive in and want to be able to park. You've got more and more people that have driveways, that have drop curbs, so there's less residential roads you can park on, and the frustrations of people that live there that now can't move their car a weekend because their roads are all chock-a-block with people trying to park. For people like myself that to drive in and want to park near where you work, you're unloading or whatever, you know, and there's just no options for that. So if anything, that makes it difficult for people to have businesses here when we can't park ourselves to run our business. So there's a huge knock-on effect. Obviously, we've still got the train links and people coming in by train, but that's not for everyone. And for people that are in Kent, you know, there's a lot of other options of places they can go to where the parking isn't £3.70 an hour, which is extortionate. And for people that if they just want to pop in for 30 minutes to grab one thing, they still charge £3.70 an hour. You know, there's no sort of quick half an hour bay or 20-minute bay that people can nip in and out of. It's just as if everything is designed to stop people from driving in. And stop people from parking and shopping, really. There's enough problems with everybody shopping online. You know, you'd think that people would want to encourage the high street and encourage local retail, shop local, all these things, but it's just makes it very difficult to run a business.
Absolutely. And on that topic, you mentioned you're not renewing your lease and parking's one of the reasons. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Parking is one of many reasons why I believe footfall to be down in Whitstable. People have got a lot of other choices, a lot of other options of where to go and where they can shop. So we've been here in the South Quay Shed, which is a council-run building. We've been here for 3 years, and we've noticed the decline in footfall. There's a lot of reasons behind that, but I do believe that parking is one of them. As mentioned, you know, our intention isn't to renew our lease here, which is a shame.
Kent Online News.
A Chatham man has been cleared of murder after being found guilty of fatally stabbing his mother. Leslie Spearing was found wounded at her Raynon home in October 2019. Jamie Burnett was later arrested on suspicion of her murder. During his trial, the court heard how he suffered from schizophrenia and psychosis, and he's been found guilty of the lesser charge of manslaughter. The 32-year-old, who lives in supported accommodation, will be sentenced in May. A Ramsgate man who downloaded thousands of inappropriate images of children has been sent to prison. Paul Redford joined a social media application in 2022 and used the platform to download and share the images with other users. The 64-year-old who lives in Melbourne Avenue has been jailed for 2 years and 4 months and will be subject to a sexual harm prevention order for 10 years. A prisoner at HMP Maidstone has been found guilty of killing a fellow inmate. Sasan Rabbit fatally attacked his victim in his own cell in December 2021 before trying to hide the body with blankets and a towel. The 27-year-old claimed he'd been acting in self-defence. He's been sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 19 years. A Gillingham man who shook and punched a toddler he was babysitting has been jailed. Daniel Coombs was charged with child cruelty after he was seen by his partner hurting the 18-month-old boy at a property in Sittingbourne in August of 2023. The 32-year-old former lifeguard has been locked up for 17 months and given a 10-year restraining order against the victim's family. Now, a burglar who targeted the same store in Faversham twice in one night has been sent to prison. Matthew Robinson broke into the Boots on Preston Street in February 2023 and stole more than £6,000 worth of goods. The 44-year-old, who lives in Mountfield, returned a short time later to repeat the offence. He's been locked up for a year. An accomplice has also pleaded guilty and was handed a one-year suspended sentence. A Dartford man has been arrested after being caught stealing from a business that hadn't opened yet. It's alleged he took cash from the till before being restrained by members of the public. The 48-year-old is still in custody as inquiries continue. A shoplifter from Maidstone has been sent to prison after repeatedly targeting supermarkets near his house. Daddy Coolidge targeted the Co-op and Morrison's five times in December 2024, stealing hundreds of pounds worth of goods, mostly chocolate. The 37-year-old, who lives in Acorn Place, has been sentenced to 10 weeks.
Kent Online News.
The MP for Tunbridge Wells is calling for any peacekeeping deal agreed by the UK to include the return of Ukrainian children who've been kidnapped by Russia. Mike Martin says Vladimir Putin should be prosecuted for it. The Lib Dem rep has raised the issue at Prime Minister's Questions.
Russia has abducted at least 19,000 Ukrainian children and transferred them to Russia. They have been told that their parents don't love them, they've been placed in Russian homes, and they have been re-educated. For this despicable crime and others, the International Criminal Court has issued 6 arrest warrants for Vladimir Putin and his gang. I note the Prime Minister's previous fulsome support for the ICC, and I also note his comments just last night about the support that the UK will offer to Ukraine in achieving a just and lasting peace. Will the Prime Minister confirm to the House that British peacekeeping troops will only be deployed to Ukraine if the peacekeeping deal includes both the Ukraine, return of Ukraine's children, and Putin's prosecution?
Well, Mr. Speaker, firstly, I thank you for raising this issue because it is an absolutely terrible case of abduction and kidnapping. And when we say a lasting, just settlement or peace in Ukraine, it must, of course, involve dealing with this issue, and we are, as he would expect, raising it continually with our allies.
Bomb disposal experts have been called to a village near Canterbury after suspicious items were found during a drugs raid. Police searched the property in Stelling Minas this morning and arrested 6 people. The items have been removed and are being investigated. Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show only 6% of vehicles that have been stolen in Kent over the last 3 years were recovered by police. Just over 7,000 were taken between 2022 and 2024. Kent police say it can be hard to track down vehicles if thieves change the number plate or break it down into spare parts, but they're committed to investigating all offences thoroughly.
Kent Online News.
The demolition of a former Tesco in Chatham is underway to make room for more than 300 flats. The building, which is now Go Outdoors, and the next door market hall in the Brook are being torn down. Work is meant to be done by May 16. The planning application for the houses is still being considered by the council. One of the biggest employers in Kent is set to create another 150 new jobs if plans for new facilities in Sittingbourne are approved. Cook already has 3 sites in the county with more than 1,800 people on the books. They make frozen meals and puddings. They say a new frozen and refrigerated logistics building would allow them to grow. Local bosses in Sittingbourne say it would be a real asset for the town. Residents have raised concerns about plans for a new wedding venue near Dover. An application's been submitted to convert Great Napchester Farm in Whitfield for events with a maximum of 50 guests. People living in the village say narrow country lanes will be unable to cope with the extra traffic. Margate-based toy company Hornby have revealed plans to remove their listing on the stock market. Bosses say the regulations and costs associated with being a public company are too high. It's becoming private as part of a turnaround by Fraser's founder Mike Ashley. Now, a brown bear from Kent who had life-saving brain surgery has emerged from hibernation. 3-year-old Bocky had to have fluid removed during an operation last October after suffering from seizures. Staff at the Wildwood Trust in Canterbury have been telling us how he's doing.
My name's Mark Haven. I'm Director of Zoological Operations here at the Wildwood Trust and here to give an update on the remarkable Bocky and his fantastic recovery following the significant operation that he undertook late last year, to counter the effects of his hydrocephalus. And it's coming into spring now, and of course he's emerged from torpor, and what a remarkable transformation we have seen in this young bear. He's active, he's playful, he's exactly the same bear that he started last year out as, so real achievement in terms of the operation's success so far, and just great to see him. And of course the reason we did this operation at the timing that we did is that he was going to go into torpor, and he's had a very successful torpor, so he slept pretty much all the way through the winter. That meant that we wouldn't be able to medicate him if we needed to. So we made the decision to conduct this brain surgery to counter the fits and all of the issues that we'd seen from the hydrocephalus, the fluid accumulation on his brain. And he's woken up and he's playful. It's like he's forgotten that he's had an operation. I don't think anyone's told him. And he's charging around being the young, lovable bear that everybody knows and loves. And it's just so fantastic to see. And we hope everyone enjoys seeing this playful young bear exactly as he should be.
John Ford is head of bears at the Wildwood Trust. He's also been monitoring Bucky's progress.
He started coming out the last few days. Not sure if it was his time for his torpor just to end or it was the beautiful weather we had with the blue skies and a nice bit of heat. Either way, he's come out, he's started waking up a bit, he's looking brilliant, he's looking happy, he looks healthy. We haven't seen any negative signs or anything like that from him. One of the first things he did when he got up is he wandered outside. We'd put up a nice new zip line, thanks to a donation from the Winton Foundation. We suspended a sea buoy off of that, a rubber one, and he walked out and popped that straight away, so that was good fun for him. All his personality traits are still there. He's still our same old Bucky that we all love, which is great news. So Bucky did quite well, actually, over his first ever winter sleep. He lost around about 30 kilos. We think a lot of this actually is because... So bears would lose weight at that time naturally anyway, but because he's such a young bear, he's still growing. We think while he was asleep, he's actually shot up a bit. He looks a bit bigger than he did this time last year. So I think a lot of his energy has been used to that. So our first job will be to put a bit of weight back on him. Obviously at this time of year, naturally when bears would start waking up, there's not an awful lot of food around. Most of it's vegetation. That's why if you come and see us, you might see them sitting in the grass and they're grazing. A lot of people don't realize bears do that. And that's because that's the first food that's available to them. So we'll get some good bit of weight back on him, but we just have to start him off slow. So he's getting leafy things, cabbage, chicory, lettuce, that kind of thing.
It's hoped he can soon be reunited with Fluff and Scruff, two other bears at the site. Becky Copland is Animal Behaviour Management Officer, who's among those keeping an eye on Bucky.
He has woken up with a fair amount of energy, considering he had quite a long torpor period, which was excellent to see. He has back to his normal character. He's up, he's playing, he's destroying his enrichment items like he did before. And it's really lovely to see. Of course, we're not getting too excited too soon because he is still needing a lot of monitoring. We want to check his behaviors. He's acting how he was before. He's acting like a healthy individual, looking for any tiny signs that there might be still some symptoms there. But so far, he's looking excellent and we couldn't be more pleased. It's really nice seeing him spending a bit of time with the other bears through the mesh as well. And nice interaction with Scruff the other day. Scruff, I think, mostly just wanted his toy, but they were close to the fence, so interacting really nicely. We're also really looking at all of those behaviours because we are hoping to reintroduce those bears back together this year.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, or one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.